Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T, and I'm thankful and grateful. And one thing I'm really thankful for, all of you and Abba for praying and for Abba getting our baby girl moved from Cincinnati, and now she's in Georgia. So I know a lot of you have been following us on Facebook, and just want to thank you for your prayers and your support. You know, it's always good when our kids are making it, growing and flying like they were designed to fly, and learning how to get over those turbulence and storms that come into their lives. But we just give Abba, Father God, the praise and the glory and thanksgiving to the saints that were praying for us. Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm going to get right on into our show. I'm almost done with the Beatitudes. You know, I just did an overview from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Basically, it's Jesus preaching, teaching his last sermon, or excuse me, his first sermon after the temptation in Matthew 4 and the testing and the trials and the development that he went through. Now he's teaching and uncovering a lot of rabbinical teachings and human reasoning and logic on how to, they say, to get to heaven, to get to God, to advance God's kingdom. Well, Jesus is uncovering all that, pulling those covers of tradition and religion and legalism off and getting to the heart of the issue. And he's basically saying in Matthew 5, hallelujah, he says right here in Matthew 5, blessed, happy. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Well, blessed are the poor. I love that. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on and lists about eight other blessings that a person can obtain by, first of all, recognizing that you can't do anything in your human reasoning, logic, philosophy, like Aristotle and Plato and all those Greek philosophers, where they think that that's where the wisdom is within. None of that stuff will get you to the kingdom of heaven. And that's what counts, because all our wisdom is very short, limited, and it won't save our soul, okay? And that's what it's about. It's not just gaining all the wisdom and knowledge and things and possessions here on this side of heaven and life, but to be able to gain Christ and his wisdom and his kingdom. So not only do we get to enjoy him on this side of glory, but we will forever and ever and ever. So this is what he's teaching in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that's where you find true happiness, when you're poor in spirit, meaning you're spiritually bankrupt. There's nothing within you. Nothing us human beings can do to get right with God. Nothing. All we can do is admit that we have nothing, cry out to mercy to him, ask him to forgive us of our sins, repent, and receive his gift of life. Then we can begin to live out the purpose and the meaning of our life, which is to be a good steward of everything that he gave us, which we're going to talk about today. So I started with the Matthew, using Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and also 2. I went to Psalms 24, and let me just read it really quick right here. Let's see if I got it right here. Right here it says, the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord with all its wealth and the world and all the people in it. Psalms 24:1, the world is the Lord's. And so we talked about that, and that everything belongs to God. We are stewards. He's the master. He's the ruler, and we just manage his treasures, his kingdom, his life. Our life is his life. And so then I started, I read in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust steal, but where your treasures is where your heart is. And no one can serve two masters, for either will hate one and love the other. Okay, so you can go back and listen to more of these series that I've done on money and stewardship and the Beatitudes if you go to our website, www.lovebyexample.com. So now I want to get right on into the biblical teaching on stewardship. And this is just a brief overview, okay? And remember, I contrast that with the steward, the unjust steward, the selfish steward, the dishonest steward in Luke 16, 1 through 13. And I showed you, and you can listen to that in our archives, how God used that parable to show me that that's where I was. I was being unfaithful and unjust to the things that God had given me. And I didn't even really realize it. But I think it's important for us to know this so that we can correct it repent and move on and enter in the freedom and the victory that we have that he created us to be. Because without, when you're in bondage to anything that controls you and it's not of God, you don't get to experience freedom. God designed an eagle to fly and soar. That's what he told us in Isaiah 40:31, that we will mount up with wings like eagles. And we will soar, we'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint, we'll soar like eagles in the sky. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing as believers. And a lot of believers are not soaring. They are in bondage, they've got their wings clipped, they can't get off the ground, they got one problem after another, and they live their whole life just like a yo-yo, up and down, double-minded, never really entering in their purpose for existence. And so once you understand that God owns everything, and you're just a steward, it just puts a different twist on it. That it did for me. And I know it'll do it for you because that's what the Word of God is inspired to do from God. So let me just read my notes here. It says, to answer the Bible about stewardship, we start with the first verse in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. God as creator is the absolute right and ownership over everything and everyone that exists. He created everything, okay? And this is the premise that we have to keep in our minds, because if we get this wrong and we think that, you know, because that's where anger comes from. People that are really, really, really angry, they're angry because they think that somebody violated something or someone of them. And we own nothing. So we need to, you know, so remember that with that anger, you got to understand that anger, when you're angry, you are angry because somebody has offended you. And to conquer anger or worry, I mean, any of those things, to conquer anger or worry or fear, because that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. They feared, they hid themselves because they believed the lie. Before that lie, and they accepted it, they didn't have that fear, but they were angry and they were fearful. But when we acknowledge that what we have from him belongs to him, based off of his word, we will begin to yield our personal rights that and expectations that we have, will yield them to God. Because really, we don't deserve anything. When you really think about it, we don't deserve anything from the Lord. But by his love and grace, he has redeemed us. Hallelujah. So God owns it all. We got to start with that. We got to believe that we are stewards. The biblical doctrine for steward defines a person's relationship to God. It identifies God as owner and manager. God makes us human beings, co-workers, co-laborers, and to administer in every area of our lives his work, what he has called us to do. Like me, I am a teacher. That's my gift, my primary motivational gift of teaching. So I'm to teach his word. Now, before I really realized that, I was teaching the martial arts for a long time. But the martial arts that I was teaching, it wasn't for the glory of God. Although at the end, I kind of tacked God's name on it. But for years, it was for me. I was, like I told someone today, I was kicking the people in vain. I was kicking the wrong enemy in vain, because the real enemy is Satan and sin. But I was teaching the wrong teaching, but I was using it in vain, because I wasn't using it for the glory of God. You know, I was using it to gain money. I was using it to gain fame. I was using it to get trophies. I was using it to get my name in Karate Illustrated magazine and Black Belt magazine. It was all about glorifying me. It's, look at me, how tough and bad I am. Acknowledge me. And then maybe I would say a prayer at the end, like they do in many places and many sports. Oh God, help me to win this tournament. You know, like he's a magic pill or a magic genie. You can just tack him on the end. So it really wasn't for him. I was serving, trying to serve two masters, but in reality, I was serving one, and that was Satan. But hallelujah, now my teaching and the stewardship that God has given me, a second chance, many chances, I'm teaching for the glory of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16-17 and John 3:16-17. That's my purpose. That's my destiny. I'm teaching and being a better steward, a good steward in the name, not a perfect steward, but a better steward than I was. Hallelujah. So stewardship is realizing that everything you have as a believer, and even before, I think, being born again, because he gave you breath of life, he gave you enough sense when you turn away from your sin to be able to recognize that you're a sinner and you can turn to God, all that's from God. So he's given us the very breath of life to commit our life totally to him. In Matthew 28, it says this. It says, I love this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So we're to go, believers now, primarily believers, you are to take the gifts that God has given you, everything, not just spiritual gifts, but your home, your car, your food, everything that you have, your clothing. You are to be a good steward of God's. And when he tells you to give, you're to give. And that's going to be my last teaching on a cheerful giver. So so the riches that God's given us, because in Ephesians 1:3 says blessed. Blessed. It says B-L-E-S-S-E-D. The same word that's in the Beatitudes. Blessed. Not you're going to be blessed, but you already are blessed. Blessed be God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. And if you understand any of my teachings and the Word of God, everything in the physical realm precedes from the spiritual realm. Okay? So if your physical realm doesn't look like the way God says it should look like as a steward, or you're not living in victory and freedom, then something is wrong in the spiritual realm with you and God. Or something. And if something's wrong with you and God, then that means you're automatically defaulting and believing the lies of the devil, which comes in a form of toxic thoughts, which basically is sin. So somewhere there's some selfishness in your life that's holding you back. And this is what Jesus was uncovering for these people on the Sermon on the Mount, that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, they were crooked, they were hypocrites, and they were, all they cared about was themselves. They focused on themselves. Everything they did, quote, in the name of the Lord, they did it for their gain. And all you got to do is read Matthew 23 and 24. He just calls them out and pronounces judgment on them. So Jesus is coming to these people that are basically being duped by these false, phony preachers and teachers and saying, no, 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 that's not right. You've heard it said this way, but this is what I say. And that basically that's what got Jesus in trouble and ended up on the cross. But he was no victim. He knew what he had to do. Hallelujah. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. So bottom line, we are to understand that we are stewards. We're like governors. Here's some words in Galatians 4, 1 and 2. Here's what Paul says. What I'm saying is that as long as we are heirs, as long as we are heir and an heir is a child, he is no different than a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to the guardian and the trustees until the administrator or the father settles and sets the time for him to take over. So basically, a steward is a manager, an administrator, but he's also under authority. He's also under the parent or the father until the father or the parents say, okay, now you can take over. But you're still going to be a steward even when you're gaining your own. So if you're under your parents' leadership, you're still a good steward with what they're teaching you to do. But when you get out there, then you understand you're a steward of what God has given you to do. So this refers to just being a good manager of your household and your household affairs that you have, whatever it is that you have, okay? And if you don't have anything that you think that you're a good steward over, that means you're not seeing correctly, because you do. And you can increase that if you do it the way God says to do. So read Matthew. Read Matthew. Maybe it's possible that you're trying to serve two masters. And that's a whole story, because that's like trying to serve two trees. You can, oh, there's two trees in the garden. Remember that. There's two trees, but only one tree leads to life and freedom. Okay, and I got a whole chart that I'm working on now to help people to see what double-mindedness looks like. Because I fear that many people, believers, are stuck in the mentality of double-mindedness, and they don't understand how dangerous that is, because a double-minded person trying to eat from two trees at the same time, it's like looking at a picture in a picture, the pick, trying to look at a picture, picture, and keep. You're not going to get the full essence of one. And this is what God is saying. You can only choose one, even though there's two trees. Adam and Eve, they chose to choose the wrong tree. And it's the same thing that we struggle every day in our lives, the choices that we choose. Is God going to be the ruler over my life today? Am I going to submit and yield to him? Or am I going to take control? Or can I try to do both? You can, okay? I'll tell you. And I think many are double-minded today, and they aren't even aware of it. So I might make that the next sermon when I finish this chart, or the next episodes. So basically, Paul is saying that in 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul sees his responsibility for preaching the gospel as a divine trust. Paul refers to his call from God as an administrator, a stewardship, of the grace of God for the ministry of divine mystery revealed in Christ, Ephesians 3:2. So Paul is portraying God as the master of a great household, wisely administrating it through Paul himself as an obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So, brothers and sisters, it's important to see that we are stewards. If you're like, this is mine, this is yours, this is mine, me, nothing's yours. Seriously, think about that. The very breath you breathe is not yours. So get that mind mentality that you are a steward. And in order for you to understand how to disperse the master's resources, you need to know what his word says. Because also a lot of believers, there is a gift of giving. There's a gift of administration, a gift of giving. And so a lot of believers have that extra gift of giving that's zeroed in on their personality and their talent. That's a motivation. And they, you know, a lot of believers don't know they have that gift. And basically because they don't know it, they're stingy. See, when you're selfish, you're stingy because you're thinking about yourself. Who's got my back? God's got your back. What about me? God's got you. I'm telling you what I know. I'm learning this and I'm sharing this, hoping that you're getting this. So it's important to understand that this spiritual, this calling of being a good steward for those who are in the body of Christ, we can't perform this stewardship on our own because of the selfishness that still remains in us. Because you know, Paul in Romans 7, he talked about that in Romans 7. See if I can find that. Romans 7:17. He says, this is the war that we have of stinginess and the flesh. This is what we fight against. He says right here in 17, he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. What's the I doing it? Being selfish, basically. You can put that principle in there. Because that's what we're fighting against, is self and the flesh within us. That sin, that remaining contaminated memories and thoughts of sin that we brought into our new salvation and our new position. But we still have to renew our mind. That's what I'm doing here. Hopefully you're getting your mind renewed about what a steward is. And he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So he wants to be a good steward, but he realizes in himself he can't do it. He just can't do it. So he says, I find that a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. 23. But I delight in the law of God, according to the inner man. He goes, I want to do good. I love the Lord God. But look what he says in 23. But I see another law of my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he just cries out, oh, wretched person that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this battle? He realizes in Romans 8, God did. Christ did, because he's in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So see, brothers and sisters, it's all the only way we're going to serve and be good stewards is by understanding, one, that nothing we have is ours. Two, the only way we can give and give cheerfully and have that mentality that nothing belongs to mine, that everything I do is for him, is to do it in the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's our second P in my book, Do You See What I See? If you haven't got my book, order that, because I talk about the second P, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, when he thinks like that, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Paul also said, by the grace, and I told you what grace, the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that. But by the grace of God, not by works that we've done, not by the flesh, not by toxic thinking, not by selfishness, not by self-effort, not by my achievements, no. But by the grace of God, God's divine accomplishment, he says, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Oh, my goodness. And so he says, no. He says, guess what? I work harder than anybody, more than anybody. He says, so he says, I've learned to be a good steward in the name of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So, brothers and sisters, God wants us to know how we handle our money, our finances, our tithes and offering, you know, just our possessions, how our health, our body, all that, our brain, everything, how we handle that is so important to know that we need to handle and be a good steward of it because it belongs to God. It is not God's. Stewardship is our obedience and a witness to the sovereignty, to the control of God over our life. And this is what should motivate true followers of Christ to move in their performance and doing good deeds that manifest your belief in him. And this is what Jesus was uncovering in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. He also said, blessed or happy, because then you're happy because you're living in your position. You're living in your purpose for living. You're living in your divine calling. No, you don't have to think about people putting you in a box when you don't fit there. You don't have to go under condemnation and feel guilty because you're not doing somebody else's expectations. Or, you know, you're not a slave anymore. You're free to serve him. And that's going to look different than just sitting week after week in a stage kind of performance, watching people yell and scream and holler about God, twisting and distorting God's word while you just sit there week after week, give your money, see the back of the people's heads, and there's no interaction during the week of true transformation and humble and a hungry heart for God, where you're seeing the power of God working in your lives. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those that are weak. I love this one. Blessed are those that are hungry and thirst after righteousness. Now that righteousness, again, takes you back to who you are in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31. He's our justification. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. And we do it all for the glory and the credit of God. Isn't that beautiful? So remember, righteousness is not a religion. Righteousness is a person. It's not a program. It's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ living inside of you. And you are joint heirs, connected, united with the divine nature of God. That's your new you. You can also look at my book. I believe it's page 135. I have a poem called Mirror, Mirror. I have a poem called Mirror, Mirror. And I had a lot of my students memorize this poem because it goes like this really quick. It says, mirror, mirror in my hand. This face I see is not who I am. Deep inside beneath my skin, I'm born again alive in him. Wanting more of you to give, help me, Lord, to really live. I submit to you in every way. My selfish flesh must die each day. Take control as I gaze at you. Transform my heart. I love you. Mirror, mirror, in my hand, I speak to who I really am. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and then 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. See, brothers and sisters, we've got to look beyond just the natural five-sense realm. We're spiritual beings, and we have a soul that thinks, feels, makes decisions, and we live in a body. But we've got to recognize that we are spiritual beings, and in order to worship God in spirit and truth, we must worship him the way he has called us to worship him. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to get ready to go. I got a good song with a group called Taylor, the third generation. These are young kids, and they're talking about happiness. I mean, these are young kids that love the Lord. They're praising God, and I found this song and an interview. I'm going to put the interview on first, and then I'll put the song on. But I just want you to hear their testimony about the love of God, so young and so beautiful. Brothers, sisters, stewardship defines our practical obedience and administrating in everything under the control of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, am I the Lord of my life, or is Christ the Lord of my life? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Who's in control of your life? And then make the adjustments, because that's where true happiness and blessedness comes. Love you.
Jade, while you guys are taking a quick break here in the studio, I want to ask you guys a few questions. Now, the name of your group is Taylor, Third Generation. That's because your family's commitment to the gospel music ministry started with your grandparents, Elder Charles E. Taylor and missionary Janice F. Taylor. Now, you're 10 years old. Tell me the most important thing you've learned from your grandfather.
My grandfather, we call him Papa, is the pastor of my church, and he has taught us that if you open your mouth and say that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. And that's what I believe.
I see. Now, Morgan, you're only 9 years old, but it really seems that you understand what you're singing about while leading the song In the Name of Jesus.
Yeah, I love that song because in that name, Jesus, there is power to save lost kids and grown-ups too.
All right. Sydney Janice, you're 8 years old. Now, what would you say to those who believe that you're too young to minister in music?
Well, I hope this project shows everyone that you are never too young to praise God. He deserves my praise, too.
Okay. Paige, you're 12 years old, the oldest in the group. What do you hope to accomplish with this project?
Well, actually, I'm 12 and a half.
Oh.
Almost a teenager. And I think other kids my age are open to the gospel message. So it's my job to tell them about salvation through Jesus Christ.
I see. And finally, Sydney Tyra, you're 6 years old. Tell me why you like the song Clap Your Hands so much.
Because I belong to Jesus, and I like to clap my hands.
To fill my needs.